Our guests today, Sonic Youth, are back to being a four-piece after the departure of Jim O'Rourke, who was a member of the band for a couple of albums. They joined us in the World Cafe to play some music from the new one called Rather Ripped. The band was a part of the New York City music scene of the late 70s and early 80s with bands like Patti Smith and the Ramones. When we talked to them, they had just played their first set at CBGB's in 20 years the night before. Longtime CBGB's owner, Hilly Kristal, is being forced to vacate the original Bowery Club, and I asked Thurston Moore if the band was nostalgic about playing the space.
Oh, well, yeah, completely.
Yeah.
I mean, when we went there yesterday afternoon and soundchecked, I made a point of like just really sort of communing with the architecture, like taking pictures of just all the walls inside and stuff like that, and just like different pillars and different sort of corners that, you know, meant a lot to me, a really significant kind of little areas of the club, like the stairwell going down to the doorless bathroom.
I was surprised at the people that still work there, that used to work there.
Yeah.
It's like they haven't aged.
That guy at the
somehow
door,
like,
he's exactly the
you know,
same.
Like the chamber of CBGB's is some kind of...
It's kind of a little like...
Chamber
magic,
of youth or something.
Magic cottage.
In its decrepit way.
Has the fate of CBGB's been resolved yet?
I was told the last date is the last day of September. It's the final, final show.
I think Hilly Kristal is going to retain the stage, like the upper level of the stage. And I think he's going to retain actually a lot of the sort of iconographic kind of things that he has on the walls, like those images of old cabaret stars that were always leaning against the walls on the stage. I think he's keeping that stuff because he knows that that stuff is timeless, and I'd hate to see it destroyed.
Sonic Youth are our guests today on the World Cafe. What would you like to start off with?
Well, we plan on starting out with a song called Incinerate, if that's cool with everybody. Is that good? Is that a good idea?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Sounds like a great
Mark.
Idea.
He's the new guy. We give Mark sort of the benefit of the choice.
I okay it.
Sonic Youth, two guitars. There's Damore and Lee Rinaldo, two basses, Kim Gordon and Mark Eibold, and Steve Shelley on drums. And that is Incinerate from the new one, Rather Ripped. I have this theory, and I would love to hear what you think about it. It may have nothing to do with anything with this. I want to talk a little bit about noise, and I wanted to talk with how people listen to music nowadays. Because most people listen to music with little earbuds in their ears.
Yeah.
And it's a little different than listening and feeling what comes out of speakers.
Big Pioneer speakers in the
Pioneers, exactly, exactly. Do you think I have this theory that what people listen to and what they like is changed by that? Is that you're really hearing inside the intricacies of a lot of things, probably better than you were, and you don't hear the power of things. And I was curious how noise has fit into what you do in the past, and if that's any different than how it does. I mean, certainly there are things on with great, you know, squalls on this album. But
I think most people who listen to noise music seriously, like, really are interested in, like, that whole culture and subculture of, like, right, sort of noise music. I don't think they're real. They don't really buy into the earbud kind of culture. Like, yeah, I don't really. I mean, I think most people who sort of like who want to use iPods and earbuds, I mean, I think they're listening to music that probably is a bit more kind of safe and sound, you know. I notice that people who are really into noise culture really like sort of more sort of vintage aspects of music playback. Like, they really like cassette culture is still really big with noise culture. So, I mean, that's really interesting to me. And, you know, well, CDRs, you know, that's as sort of digital as it gets for these guys.
And just the very fact of listening to things through tube amps and big speakers and stuff, it really changes what's going on in big ways.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's anything to do with, I mean, I hear some of these songs on Rather Ripped as being, you know, and certainly albums going back a few, is being kind of more intricate and less slamming, perhaps.
I think this record sounds a lot better blowing through, like, huge Pioneer speakers.
That's my problem. I've been listening to them on earbuds. It's all my fault. Sonic Youth are our guest today, and you want to do one that that Kim sings?
Yeah. We're going to do Jams Run Free. Thank you.
That's Jams Run Free, our guest Sonic Youth playing live today. I want to talk a little bit about three issues that are out there. I know there's one of Goo, a kind of a deluxe edition of that, and Chicone Youth. And was there one of Daydream Nation?
Yes, there was.
And Daydream Nation also got the distinction of going on the Library of Congress, sort of Library of Great American Recordings, along with...
that's right, yeah.
Yep. Along with this recording of a foghorn over Lake Michigan, I thought was...
Yeah.
I guess when we go to D.C., we should go check that out.
Yeah.
I wonder if you have how that's done.
I'm curious. I'd like to go in the Library of Congress and look in the card file.
The
and
National
see, like,
Recording Registry is what
I think
it's
that's
called.
Really absolutely fabulous, personally. I think it's really great, and it's quite a distinction in a lot of ways. Did they do it as an emblematic of an era, or how did it... Do you have any idea?
It's very unclear to us. There's been no communication between the government and ourselves over this. You don't get a plaque or a piece
of
paper or anything. I think it's populist nominated. I think, you know, private citizens nominate things to be added to that registry.
Well, that's just totally great and a well-deserving album indeed. Sonic Youth are playing live today. Why is Rather Ripped in quotes? I'm sorry. I'm curious.
Rather Ripped in quotes on the front of the record?
Yeah.
That was because the guy who did the record cover was somebody who worked in the art department at the record label. And laying out the cover was kind of a challenge because it's a painter from New York named Christopher Wool. And we looked at a lot of his work and started laying it out. And it always it kept looking kind of precious, very sort of gallery style. And I found this flyer that somebody from the art department at Geffen Records had made for South by Southwest for the release of this record. And what he did is he took this text of Sonic Youth that the artist had done and slammed it on top of the painting. And then he tried to recreate the stencil himself, spelling out Rather Ripped. And it was very sort of Never Mind the Bollocks kind of style.
Totally. Yeah.
And I found it like lying in the gutter at South by Southwest. And I picked it up and I said, what the hell is this? And I said, this is the cover. And I had to hunt this guy down. And I've never met him. And I said, you know, thanks for doing our cover. And then it sort of gave me gave us the aesthetic idea of like how to sort of lay this cover out was a bit more sort of like scissors and scotch tape.
Rather Ripped would look kind of like an English accent in our head. So
rather
hey, ripped.
I was rather ripped. Yeah, it's English schoolboy sort of wasted. Sort of elegant waste.
Sonic Youth are playing live, and they are playing things from Rather Ripped for us. And this next one, was this the one that was described as being influenced by the Rembrandts? Is it?
Oh yeah, actually, this song when we were writing it, we had sort of a rough instrumental version of it that we were on CD and we were, before there was any lyrics or anything. And our 12-year-old or 11-year-old daughter sort of heard it and she thought it sounded like the theme to Friends. Yeah, I guess which is the Rembrandts.
Right.
And she was kind of right because it did have that kind of vibe. Although it's a little hard to tell right now if the song is fully
fleshed,
fully
out.
Developed.
So this is What a Waste. We'll be right back. That is What a Waste from the new one, rather, ripped from Sonic Youth. Some say Rembrandt's. See, I hear Telstar. I hear Telstar in so much you do. I, where would we be without Telstar?
Indeed. Joe Meeks?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But, that's a good call.
But anyway.
There's a lot of those melodic lead lines in that.
Absolutely.
Stuff.
I think that's what I'm talking about. Now, you talk about your daughter Coco thinking that you were doing the Rembrandt song, but she has performed with you, right? What did she play on the Gilmore Girls?
She played bass.
Ah,
yeah. I mean, we were working on. I guess we had just finished the record. We sort of we went over to the Gilmore Girls set because they kept sort of they didn't keep, but they referenced Sonic Youth and then Kim and I in one episode. And so we sort of did a little investigation, and we got invited to the set. We went out there, and they were like the creators of the show were just like really, they were really cool people, and they were like, you know, fans. And so for the season finale, they said, you know, why don't you two come out and be troubadours in the town square, because we're going to have this kind of troubadour concept on the show. And they said, bring your daughter. Maybe she could play with you, and you could be troubadour. So we were trying to figure out what to play, and we figured out we'd play like What a Waste from our new from the new Sonic Youth record. And so we just sort of went in our basement and showed Coco kind of how to play the bass line. It's pretty much like do 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 do, she was on the show with us. She's really good on the show because she has a really like cool demeanor.
Is she into playing music otherwise? Is she doing?
Yeah, she has a band called The Lightbulb. They've had two gigs.
Yeah, they're good. It's her and Addie Coley, which is Byron Coley's daughter, and another girl named Rosie. They're all like 11, 12 years old.
There's a bunch of major labels chasing after them right now.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for playing live today. Thanks
for having us.
Thanks for making music.
Yeah, thanks.
For these many, many years, too. So kudos to the band. Sonic Youth, our guests, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.